to cover. And I'm sitting home, and I keep looking at it, and I keep adding to it. So I said, I better close it down here. So I kind of run away with it a little bit today. Just, I thought I had it all ready to go, and I looked at it again, and I said, well, I can't leave that like that. And that just goes to show you, even when we've done everything we can, there's that much more to do. Because that's how vast it is. Once you understand what he tells us, his plan, what his overall plan is, and then he gives his word. Now, when God speaks, that's his word. And how many know we can take him at his word? Yeah. Why is it we can take him at his word? Because he don't change his word. Right. He don't change it. Time doesn't change his word. What he said is what he's going to do. And that's the plan that he's going to use. He's not going to change. You know, a lot of times, you ever heard the saying, don't change the rules in the middle of the game? Mm-hmm. How many's ever heard that saying? Well, let me tell you, one thing you don't have to worry about God is him changing the rules in the middle of the game. He's got the same rules, but man wants to change his rules. Amen. In the middle of the game. Well, I think we're at the end of the game. And so, how is it fair for this man to have these rules, and at the end, this man have a different set of rules? How is God going to judge that equally? It's impossible for him to do that. So I'm telling you, he don't change his rules. They're the same. And I hope tonight I can show you that, because once you see it, you're not going to unsee it. And the whole Torah portion is about seeing. It's about looking. It's about beholding. It's about paying attention. All these things. You're going to see how this is going to start to ring true in your ears again, because I didn't change much from last year. I shouldn't say much. I changed a lot from last year in here. But I didn't change what I said last year. It's the same there. I just added to it. And you'll see that. So again, we're understanding his likes and his dislikes. Now understand this. When you read from the New Testament, the Brit Hadishah, when you read that without an understanding of what God's word is as understood in the Old Testament or the Tanakh, you're not going to understand the Brit Hadishah. You're just not. And so when you come to something you don't understand or you can't explain, you do what? You make stuff up, and that's what we're suffering from. And we don't want to be caught making stuff up, because then we're speaking on God's behalf. And if we speak on his behalf and he didn't say it, that makes us what? We're false prophets. We're not to be listened to. And so we're going to see that in the text as we go through it today. So this is portion number 47. Re'e, which is Hebrew for see or look, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 16, verse 17, and Haftorah is Isaiah 54, verse 11 through Isaiah 55, 5. The topics in the portion, this week's Torah portion, see, says Moses to the people of Israel, I place before you today a blessing and a curse. So he's wanting them to pay attention. When he used the word see, it literally means pay attention to what I'm saying to you, or see it carefully, look at it. Make sure you look at it good. What makes a person be a good witness if they don't pay attention? They're not going to be a good witness. But if you're paying attention and you're witnessing something, you're watching it, and you get asked questions about it later, you're going to be able to answer correctly because you paid attention to what you've seen. And so Moshe's saying, listen, now they hadn't entered in yet, so we're continuing. It's like this farewell thing is dragging on, but it's for reason. It's for reason. Now we have this new generation, and by the way, with the same rules of the game. They didn't get a separate set of rules. Does everybody understand that, how powerful that is? And so it's the same set of rules. He didn't change them. And he's getting, they're going to enter the land, and he's telling them, and what a better way to enter the land than in Devarim when he's given a sum of everything they've been through. Now, some of these people he's talking to, they weren't even born yet. So this is important. This is important for people who come into the faith and you being explained what the gospel is. Now, if I tell you to explain the gospel now, would you have a different explanation than, well, Yeshua died, was buried, and rose again? I would hope you would. Because if that's the sum of the gospel, we're missing it. If that was it, Yeshua only needed one chapter in the Brit Hadashah. All he needed one chapter, he could explain that easy. But why did he have all the rest of what he said? Why did they record these things? Because it's more than that. See, says Moses to the people of Israel, I place before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessings that will come when they fulfill Elohim's commandments, and the curse if they abandon them. These should be proclaimed on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal when the people crossed over into the Holy Land. And so he's giving them again this reminder. He's telling them, listen, you proclaim the blessing and the curse. Now, the tendency we have in reading is when we get to the blessing scriptures, we like reading those. We get to the curse scripture, we turn the page. Because we don't want to see what can come when we're not really doing what we're supposed to be doing. But he says to see both of them. Pay close attention to both of them. That way you're not going to be shocked. There's no shock here when we find ourselves in trouble. We knew about the trouble before we got into trouble, and we knew we was heading down that path. That's just how it was. Listen, you know that if you're going down the highway at a high rate of speed, and the speed is not a high rate, when the police stops and pulls you over, you're not shocked. I would hope you're not shocked, because you knew what you was doing. If the speed limit is 70 miles an hour on the interstate and you're doing 100, and the state trooper sees you and pulls you over, and he says, driver, step to the rear of the car now. You're not going to sit in your seat and say, I wonder what he wants me to step to the rear for. Why did he stop me? There's no way you'd say that. Because you know that you were going 30 miles over the speed limit. So, and probably he'll take you to jail because of that. But you're not going to be shocked. You're going to be, he's not going to come to the window and says, you know why I stopped you? And you go, no. You wouldn't say that, right? You would never say that. Nor should we be shocked when God says, if you deliberately break these commands, this is what's coming. Why would we be shocked about that? See, we don't want to read them. We don't want to pay close attention to them, but that's what he's telling us in this portion. He took a whole Torah portion and said, listen, be careful. Now, this thing goes into depth. I'm going to give you just the summary of each thing that he goes into. So he's telling about this in this section. And the next part, a temple should be established in the place that our Elohim chooses to make dwell his name there. He said, well, he chooses to put his name, that's the temple place. Now, why do they have to establish this? Because they're going into the land that they never possessed. And they're going to go through some territory before they get to Jerusalem. And so they're going to have a tendency to want to camp out. And one of those places was Gerizim, which is also known as Samaria. And so he has this encounter with the woman at Samaria. In the fourth chapter of John, they have this encounter, and what did he tell the woman? Says to him, well, some say worship in this mountain, but the Jews say worship in Jerusalem. So there's this controversy. Now, so from the instructions of Moshe, from this instruction right here, still people is not paying attention all the way to Jesus' day, sitting there with this woman. They're still not paying attention. And you think it's changed from him sitting at the well with the woman to now? People are still not paying attention. This is how important this Torah portion is. We have to, and to pay attention doesn't mean that you just listen to what I'm saying tonight. paying attention is you have your own brain, you have your own Bible. Take some time, go home and open it up and read it slow. I'm telling you, if you just read it slow, and if you don't get it, go back and read it again. If you don't get it, go back and read it again. You got to create those type of habits. And I tell you, when it comes on, it don't go off. You don't know how wonderful it is when the light comes on. And if you do, and you hadn't caused you to create a habit of doing it more, then you need to let it happen a few more times, and you'll see the passion you get for wanting to understand His Word. It's so incredible. And so He's telling them this, that the temple is going to be in a place where I choose to put my name there, where the people should bring their sacrifices to Him. It is forbidden to make offerings to Elohim in any other place. Notice that. It is permitted to slaughter animals else. It is permitted to slaughter animals elsewhere, not as a sacrifice, but to eat their meat. The blood, which in the temple is poured upon the altar, however, may not be eaten. And it goes through all those verses in that 15, in the next chapter. Chapter 12. A false prophet or one who entices others to worship idols should be put to death. An idolatrous city must be destroyed. The identifying sign for kosher animals and fish and a list of non-kosher birds first given in Leviticus 11 are repeated. Where that's repeated at? Chapter what? Goes on, it's Leviticus 11, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 14. A tenth of all produce is to be eaten in Jerusalem or else exchanged for money with which food is purchased and eaten there. A certain year is tithe is given to the poor instead. Firstborn cattle and sheep ought to be offered in the temple and their meat eaten by the Kohanim or the priest. The mitzvah of charity obligation, a Jew is to aid needy fellows with a gift or a loan. On a sabbatical year occurring every seventh year, all loans are to be forgiven. All indentured servants are to be set free after 6 years of service. These are all the things that he's going to teach in this Torah portion. They're so important. Our portion concludes with the laws of the three pilgrimage festivals, Passover, Sukkot, Shavuot, and Sukkot, when all should go to see and be seen before Elohim in the Holy Temple. Now we're going to start, and this is where I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with this because it's so important. And I'm going to probably stay on this topic for all the rest of the night. So I won't get very far in the Torah portion itself, but I'm going to cover a lot of the Torah portion in this subject that I'm going to talk about. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. See, the days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. Who is renewing the covenant with? The same folks. He had the same Abrahamic covenant with. He didn't change people. People groups are the same. And so when you come and tell me that we're under a different covenant now, I want you to explain to me what does that mean when I read you about this renewed covenant that you so say we under. Who's that covenant with? And what's the rules and obligations of this people group? What is that? What does that look like? Because remember, the renewed covenant is with them. The only hope we have is that God calls those who disseminated into the Goyim out. That's the only hope we have. And then Yeshua knew that. That's why he raised up apostles and sent them to the Gentiles. They couldn't tell who they were anyway. They'd forgotten who they were. Those 10 tribes that disseminated. They became just like other people. They didn't know who they were. They forgot their own their own people group. They have no clue, just like many today. We don't know who we are. One thing we know, that Yeshua came to save the world. But he's not going to save the world and bow down his word to meet the word, the world at what they say. We're going to have to step our game up to perform underneath the rules and regulations that he withheld. He upholded himself to. And we're going to find out what that was. This right here, I never spent a lot of time on this last year. But I told myself I'm going to spend time on this part, because this right here, it could settle a lot of things for people who have this claim, well, we're under a renewed covenant. And what got me going was the other day, when we were discussing about food laws, I didn't discuss it, I was asked. Every time I get asked a question, I like to answer the question. Well, I don't give you what I think, I give you the verse of Scripture. When you tell me it's not in the Bible, and I know it's there for a fact, I go, okay. There's no argument. What's to argue about? I say, okay, I'll bring it to you and show you. All right, you have to show me. So I brought the two verses of Scripture that plainly stated what he said was not in the Bible. And the moment I showed him these two verses, he said, well, I don't want to know about that because we're under the renewed covenant. Okay. Explain it to me. Well, I don't want to talk about it. If you're underneath it, but you don't know what it is, you can't explain it to me. That's sad. Right. How are you going to get people saved? How are you going to be the light to the world? How are you the salt of the earth when your neighbor comes and say, hey, what's this Yeshua you're talking about? Well, how are you going to explain that to him? You know what we drew? We said, well, he just loves you. He loves you. This is true. He does love you, and he loves you where you are. But he hates the sin that you're doing. So you got to quit sinning. And now you got to start doing what he told you to do. And we fail to tell people that. We fail to tell them that. We just explain to them that Yeshua is just love, and he don't care what you're doing, he loves you. So people keep doing what they're doing, and they have this false idea that he loves me. I love him and he loves me. But are you going to church? Well, no, not really. Are you doing? Have you changed any of your lifestyle? A little bit. Is that the way it is? Do we get to change a little bit of our lifestyle? It's not the way it is. We're to come out from among them and be separated, he said. Be separate. Be holy. Be set apart. That's what he's explaining to us. It's so important for our lives. And so he says, see, the days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Yehuda. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I strengthened their hands to bring them out of the land of Mizraim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Jehovah. So he's going to explain to us the difference in that covenant. The difference in that covenant is the blood of Yeshua still stands today. His death still stands strong today. Even though it was over 2,000 years ago, it's still strong as it was when it was the power in that death. When Yeshua died, that tore the veil in the temple and rent it in two is the same power today. It's no different. And what we got to have is we have to have the veil that's been on our face when it comes to understanding the word of Yehovah. It's got to be torn in two. And if we let the finished work of what Yeshua did at Calvary have its true set place in our life, it will change us all. We're going to look at the word the same way. We'll finally say we can see it. We're paying attention to what it says. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Jehovah. I will put my Torah in their inward parts. I want to just ask you, we're still talking about the renewed covenant, right? What is he putting in their inward parts? The Torah. I'll put my instructions. If that's a better word for you, some people, I don't know what it is about the T word, but they get shaky on the T word. So maybe we don't need to use the T word because it's offensive. So maybe we just use instructions. Is that a better word? Is that set better with everybody, the instructions? So listen, he said, I'll put my instructions in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. So if you accept, when you accept Christ, when you accept Christ, the moment you accept Christ, you get infused with power from on high. The set apart spirit comes and wants to live in your life. Now you can allow him to live, or you can put him out. You see, you mean I have the power to do that? Absolutely, you have the power to do that. If you're a welcoming host, if you're a welcoming host where you welcome the set apart spirit to be the one that guides you and directs you and teaches you all things, it'll happen. But the moment you put him out, that doesn't change the fact that written on your heart through what Yeshua did at Calvary is the instructions of Elohim. Don't change that fact. You don't know about it because you don't have the power to know about it. You don't exercise it because you don't have the strength to exercise it. That strength and that power comes from the set apart spirit. That's how you get that. That's how you get the energy to exercise that. Because you've been empowered to do that. And you shall receive power after that the set apart spirit has come on you. And then you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's when you become a witness, a true witness of what Yeshua has done. But it don't change the fact that what's written in you is the instructions of Elohim. That's written in you. Now, we don't pay attention to it sometimes. And so what's written in you, how do I know you can't go wrong in the text? Let me tell you why. What's written in you is going to bear witness with what your mind is reading. Because when you see it with your eyes, it goes into your mind. You try to make sense of what it says, and whatever you make sense of settles in what makes where it makes a connection at, in your heart. It makes a connection. When that connection's made, you perceive it to be truth. You perceive it. You see it. You finally see it. You get it. You behold it. You now are paying attention to that word. Now it makes sense to you. Ray, finally, you're getting it. It settles down in you. He said, I'll put my Torah in your inward parts and write it on their hearts, and they shall be I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall they teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yehovah. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yehovah, for I shall forgive their crookedness and remember their sins no more. Now that to me looks like the salvation plan that Yeshua came and paid for everybody. He forgives crookedness and remembers their sin no more. Why is he forgiving crookedness? Because we're not doing it anymore. We're not a lawless people anymore. Now we have a set of rules or instructions that's been written in our heart. So don't tell me it don't make sense to you. It's in your heart. If you've accepted Yeshua in your life, it's written in your heart. That's what the word says. It's written in your heart. Now, you don't know it's there because you don't have eyes to see it's there. And you can't get eyes to see it until set apart spirit removes the scales, lightens up your understanding. So how does that enlightenment happen? Where does it enter in? Through the eye gate. All of a sudden you see it. Wow, I never saw that before. That's what happens. Now the book of Hebrews chapter 8, we're going to repeat the same thing we just read. We're going to repeat it from Jeremiah the prophet, what he said. Now we're going to repeat it in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. What was the fault of the first covenant? Was it the instructions? Was that the fault? Was it or them? That's the question. If it's it, then that means the instructions had a problem. If it's them, it's the people had a problem. I want to know which one is it. Because one of them had a fault. One of them had a fault. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, not it, finding fault with them, he said, see, the days are coming, says Yehovah. Now I'm back to Jeremiah. I'm quoting Jeremiah. See the days, see the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant. Now, I am in the Brit Hadashah. I am in the New Testament, and he's saying the same exact thing that Jeremiah said. Now, we talk about renew. Does he talk about renewed covenant in the New Testament, any? Does he talk about other places? I got them all down. We're going through every one of them in context. Not single verses. Not single verses. In context. Because that's where a lot of times people go wrong. They want to read a single verse. Build a doctrine around a single verse. I'm talking about read it in context, and let's not pull it out of context. Leave it where it goes. And so he says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mizraim, because they did not continue in my covenant and they disregarded them, says Jehovah. They didn't continue in my covenant, in our agreement, in what we agreed upon. So I want you to think about this marriage. We have a marriage, and I've done several weddings. So you're up here, the lights are dim, the candles are lit, the audience is here, and everybody's nervous. Even the preacher's nervous. You never get over it, because you want everything to go just right, because it's a special moment for this group. It's special. Their family's here. And they're gonna, it's a one-shot deal. You don't get a do-over. This is it. So you want it, so you hope you have everything right and everything. So and so they get up and they get to the vows. And I like it when they do their own vows. When they say it themselves. So you sit back and you're enjoying it. And you see them just pouring their heart out to one another. That's what he did for us. So God spoke first. He gave his vow. He said, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I'm going to take care of you. I don't care what happens. Anybody that comes against you, they'll be in trouble. They're going to deal with me. Go read what he said. There's a long list of stuff that he was going to do. And he's in the middle of saying what he's going to do. And they said, whoa, 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 stop, stop, stop. Quit speaking. Everything you said, we will do. We know that wasn't true. So the wedding's over, and now they're living together, right? And all of a sudden, Moshe's on the mountain. God says, Moshe, you better get down there before I kill them all. See, they already broke the covenant. They already broke the covenant. The honeymoon wasn't even over. They broke the covenant. Not to mention, he already took them from Mitzrayim, took them across the desert, took them across the Sea of Reeds, brought them to this place, and now they're in the mountains. He's giving them water. He's doing everything he can to help them, and they're at Mount Sinai, and they already break the covenant. At the place where at the wedding. Can you imagine? You're at the wedding, and the wife of the groom at the wedding fools around on a husband. If I told you I got something to tell you and I'm going to tell you about this and I start out with that, you're going to settle in. Boy, you're going to say, tell me, who was it? Who was it? We get interested, you know. This is gossip. Who was it? I'm going to tell you who it was. It was Israel. It was Israel. Israel did that. The church did that. And we do the same thing when we don't abide by the covenant obligation. We do the same thing. You would say, if it would be somebody you knew, you say, man, that's terrible. Why would they? You mean at the reception? Yeah, at the reception. Can you believe that? That's unbelievable. Man, we get all of it. Man, I tell you what, I just can't believe they would do something like that. Spend all this money and they would do that then? That's crazy. That's about how our talk would be. We'd be talking like that. Right. Yet we see it happen time and time again when it comes to God. Yes. He's faithful. We're unfaithful. He's true to his covenant promise. We're untrue to our covenant promise. And so he's telling us that. He said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mizraim, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says Jehovah. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. Giving my laws in their mind, I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Am I still talking about the same covenant that Jeremiah prophesied? Verse 11, and they shall by no means teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know Jehovah, because they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, because I shall forgive their unrighteousness in their sins, in their lawlessnesses, I shall no longer remember. What does it mean to be lawless? It means to be sinning. Because sin is lawlessness. That's what the definition is. Sin is lawlessness. It means to live like there's no rules. You don't have any rules. I can do what I want. We're not our own. We've been bought. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. Yeshua gave his life for us. That ought to mean something still today. We've been bought with a price. He gave his life for us. And we ought to want to do something back for him. That's just normal stuff, just normal reciprocation back to him. I want to reciprocate something that, what can I do as a person, as a human being? I have so many inabilities. What can I do to reciprocate? He just tells me to obey. Obey what he's asked me to do. And there's some very clear things he's asked us to do as a people group. And we still have a hard time just with the basic stuff. So we get into a little deeper, reading in the instructions of Elohim, and we find out, man, this stuff's a lot to do. Well, the scripture's full of it, and he constantly gives us warning. If Elohim puts the Torah in your minds, it will consume your thoughts. If Elohim writes the Torah on your hearts, it will consume your passions. And if Yeshua fills you full of the Torah, it will consume your entire being. So if you are really living the life of the believer, you will read and study and obey the Torah. That's simple. Your whole life will be learning what the commandments are, learning how people in the Bible were blessed by keeping them, and learning to avoid what happens to the people in the Bible who did not obey them. Because remember, this whole thing is, I want you to see the blessing, and I want you to make sure you see the curse. I set before you today blessing and curse. That's what he tells us. It's set before all of us. Here's the deal. If you want to stay in relationship with me, you got to keep yourself clean. If you don't stay clean, this is what's going to happen. And he was in no choice but to divorce Israel. And the only reason Israel was remarried back under this renewed covenant that we're talking about, because remember, if this renewed covenant don't exist, then what we're doing is a joke today. We've been misled. We're wasting our time. We might as well all pack up and go to the house. I don't know what plays on a Friday night on TV, but whatever's playing, you don't have to record it. You can watch it live, because we're wasting our time. Just go and watch it. If this doesn't matter, I want to tell you it does matter, and we owe it to him to take some time to go meet with him and to take a look at what he said. This week's Torah portion is called Re'eh, which means to see or look, and the primitive root word for see in the Hebrew word is Ra'ah. Ra'ah, Strong 7200, which means to see, look, observe, pay close attention, consider. This is a command that we all will do well to heed today. And that is to observe and pay close attention to that which lies ahead for us as we await the return of our King, so that we are able to discern and act wisely as we follow the Torah and instructions of Elohim. And this is what we aim to do. We aim to just follow his instructions. So I'm going to take you on this journey through the Brit Hadishah and explain some things to you. Every one of these verses that I'll use, I'm going to use them in context. So it's going to be a lot of extra reading. But that's the only way I know how to do it. When I study, I don't study one verse. I might start out with one verse, but when I'm done, I've covered above it, I covered beneath it, and anywhere else I can go, it's important for me that I'm not mistaking what's being said. And a lot of these verses I'm going to read to you, they have been mistaken. But I'm going to read them to you in light of the instructions of Elohim. How's that? How many ready? We're in Ephesians 4, starting with verse 17, the subtitle is the new life. So we're talking about this renewed covenant, this new life, right? Being saved. That's the lingo we use today. We're saved. We're going to church now. Some people shorten it up. Yeah, I'm going to church now. I changed my life. But how many of you know that looks 75 different ways to 75 different people? Because we structured ourselves. But we're one body. If we're one body, I don't know how that's possible. How is that possible? So some would say, well, God showed more to him than he showed to me. No, he showed himself to everybody equally. Everything's shown to us equally. Well, we don't read no scripture. I don't know what gives us the authority to eliminate the scripture we don't like. Where do we get that authority from? At our church, we don't do that. Where are we getting that authority from? Let's look at the text of what it says. In Ephesians 4:17, so this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the nations walk. Now, what is Moshe telling them? Listen, pay close attention to what I'm saying. See what I'm saying. When you enter the land, you got to listen carefully what I'm telling you. Don't look out and observe what the nations are doing. They can't help you. When you go in, you tear down their asterisks, you tear down their temples, you destroy, you get rid of it. Let me tell you why Israel's suffering still today in the nation of Israel. In 1948, Israel went in and took the nation. They took the nation, Israel, Jerusalem, back. Instead of them going in and following the commands of Jehovah and went in and destroyed that Dome of the Rock, that golden dome that you see on all the pictures, they should have tore that building down that day. They won the war. It was theirs. They didn't do that. Now that's the thorn in their side today. God gives instructions for a reason. It's for us to do them. When you don't do them, cause and effect happens. Now they have an effect of what not doing. In 1940, they could have did that. They didn't do it. You see how important it is to follow his instructions? And so now, if they do that now, we're in World War III immediately. Immediately. There'll be more hell than you ever thought possible to come against you if they touch that building right now. Because that is one of the largest groups of people in the world, over a billion strong. So now, you just got to let it be. And so what is God saying? Why don't you listen? Why don't you listen to what I'm telling you? In the last week's Torah portion, I didn't get to it, but if you'd have read down, there were certain things that God says, when I come to the land and judge the land, let the land be a tell. It'll be a tell. That's never to be inhabited again. So what did they do in Tel Aviv? They rebirthed the city. Tel Aviv is the number one capital of homosexuality in the world. It should be a tell if they'd obey God, but instead they rebirthed it. And they gave it the life that it's gotten. It's all anti-God. They have the largest parade, pride parade, happens in Tel Aviv, in Israel. How's that possible? Not listening. Not listening. Not paying attention. That's how it happens. And it ain't going to be no different for us. If we don't listen, we're going to have to be faced with all those circumstances. You can't undo them. It's an impossible thing. They politically so tied in, they can't undo it now. So their government's tied in. It's a compromised government. It's a compromised belief system. It's compromised. Even though we have Yeshua, so they put Yeshua on the side and they compromise. How you get success like that? You don't. The only reason it survived to this point is the covenant God made. Because he don't have to have them all. He said, I'll take a people, just a small remnant will be saved. And he'll rebirth that whole group of people. That's what God does. He takes what, after we destroy it all, what's left, he takes it and he gives it new life. That's what we did our life. We destroyed it. We destroyed our life with sin and iniquity. And then he took it and he redone it, got it back in working order for us. I mean, thank God he's so good to us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to. That's what we have to understand. He didn't have to do that. He legally didn't have an obligation to do that, because legally he kept the covenant and we broke it, so he legally didn't he didn't have to do it. He did it because of his compassion and his love and his mercy and his grace. That's why he did it. The renewed covenant Jeremiah is talking about is a grace covenant that everybody calls grace today. Same grace covenant that Hebrews talking about. It's the same grace. It's no different. Grace is not something new that just happened in the New Testament. New Testament is the story of that happening, but grace started in the Old Testament. That's where it started. So, this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the nations walked, in the futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim. This is what happened. The nations did this. Are we to walk as they walk? No, he says, see, don't do that. Don't do that. Because they have been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim. What's the life of Elohim? He tells us. He explains his likes and his dislikes. He explains it to us. That's the life of Elohim. This is the life of Elohim. He explains it to us. Then he sent his only son to live that life in the fullness. That so full that if you saw him, you've seen the Father. He was the exact representation of him. How powerful is that? So he shows us that in his son. But we haven't been darkened in their understanding, have been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them. What are they ignorant to? What are they ignorant to? They're ignorant to the Word of God. We don't understand the things of God. We don't want to read about the things of God. If you sat down with somebody, I can tell you, you try this. Invite somebody over to y'all and say, listen, we're just going to figure while we're here drinking coffee, eating shortbread, why don't we take the Word of God and we'll take a look at it. We'll go back. We'll start at the beginning. Wow. They're going to drink their coffee real fast, eat their shortbread, and see, I got to go. I got to work in the morning. Because we don't want to go back and look at it. Because somehow we're afraid we got to change something. They're estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who having become calloused, having given themselves up to indecencies to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is what it leads to. It leads to this. But you have not so learned Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him as truth is in Yeshua, that you put off with regard to your former behavior the old man. You put the old man off, being corrupted according to the desires of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you get renewed in the spirit of your mind? So the junk that was in there is going to be put off. Now you got to put new things in. What are you going to put in? You got to put the Word in, because we're washed by the washing of the Word. We got to put the Word in. Man, that sounds funny to even say it. You mean we got to put the Word in our mind? Well, yeah, you got to put it in your mind. You got to be a participant in this. Where is he going to write the Word in Hebrews? Hebrews account. Where he says I'm going to write the Word? In your mind. And so you got to be a participant, not a person that's, when he goes to put it in your mind, you go, oh no, not what we do. Don't tell, they don't want to hear it said. I don't want to hear. These are the encounters I have. The one fellow says, Jesse, don't even fool with him, because no matter what you say, he's never going to change his mind. Once it hits your mind, the battle's not mine no more. It's your fight. And what you believe and what it says is contrary. They button heads. They constant conflict there. And you either give in to what God says or you disobey. And the curse for disobedience is also written there. So we have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the renewed man. You put on the renewed man, which was created according to Elohim in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. How was the renewed man created? Somebody say it for me real loud. In righteousness? What does it mean to be in righteousness? If we're lawless, that means we're unrighteous. But if we obey what he says, that makes us righteous. So the new man is renewed in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. Therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor. What do we have to do? We have to put off the false. That's not easy because you got to admit you're wrong. And we're stubborn. Let's not kid ourselves. We get stubborn. We get set in our ways. We don't want to admit we're wrong about anything. But we have to. Not because it didn't line up with what I'm saying. Forget what I'm saying. But if it doesn't line up with what God is saying, you have to put it off. You can't wear it and wear what he says. There's no room for two. There's no room for the nonsense of our own thinking and what God said. They don't fit in the same thing. You got to put one off. Therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, so that he has somewhat to share with those in need. Basically, in English, he's saying, get a job. Don't steal. Get a job and get a good job so you can help somebody else. Not just a job that's enough for you. Get a job that's more than enough so you can help the people that's poor. This is what he's saying. See, when he speaks frank, we don't want to hear that. We want to create programs for people. Let's create programs. We got a program at our church for the people that don't want to work. That ain't what God said. He said to him that stole, steal no more. But let him rather labor, working with his hands, what is good, so that he has somewhat to share with those in need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers. And that's what I'm aiming to do today. I aim to impart something pleasant to the hearers today, so you see it. And do not grieve the set apart spirit of Elohim, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, why is it important to have the set apart spirit? Because it's the seal on our life for the day of redemption. I want to ask you, what is that day of redemption? What does that look like? If you're redeemed now, what does this day mean? If you got all you can get now, you don't need to hear the preacher. You don't need to be taught anything. I want to know what this day is going to look like. What's different from that day or this day? The day of redemption is a goal. It's a hope that we hope toward. We're looking forward to it. Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you, along with all evil. Be kind toward one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgave you in Messiah. That was a big mouthful in Ephesians 4. But I'm going to rush through it. John 7, verse 37. Rivers of living water. And on the last day, the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of his innermost flows rivers of living water. And there's all these verses. I'm not going to go through all these verses. This is how many verses you'd have to read to understand what he's talking about when he's speaking of living waters. It's a lot of reading there. I'll leave it up for a little while for you. You can get a snapshot of it. On the last day, the great day of the festival. What festival? The last day, the great day. Where is he at? What is he doing? What is he doing there? Why would he even be there if he's not supposed to be there? This was not his first time at this festival. This is the time that's being recorded by John, but he'd been there before. They have him every year. He's been there before, but this record is being recorded because he's telling them. He's revealing himself. They were doing this water libation. They were doing these, going through, it was adding to the Torah, adding to it. This, maybe we got to do this to get closer to God. Maybe we got to add this to get closer to God. He said, I tell you what you need to do. You need to recognize that I am the living water. It gets quiet when he got up and said that. But they didn't understand it because he was talking about the set-apart spirit that would come and flow out of them. But it had yet been given. And this he said concerning the spirit which those believing in him was about to receive. For the set-apart spirit was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet esteemed. He wasn't glorified yet. So he's speaking to them about something that they can have when they walk in this new life, this authority, that would bring truth. It would reveal truth. It reacts. So when the set-apart spirit comes in, it's trying its best to activate the word that's written in your heart. What's written in your heart, you got to identify it as what he said it is. And that's the instructions of Elohim, his Torah. It's written in your heart. Set-apart spirit comes in, and we fight it constantly. And we have moments where we walk in that spirit, and in moments we don't walk in it. In moments we walk in it, and moments we don't. So that's why you see when the set-apart spirit come on people's life, they would operate in some of the levels of this instruction, but then they would put a cap on it. They would cap it. And we're not going no further than this. This is as far as we're going here. And then that group would get mad at the group, and they split and split and split and split and split. And before you know it, we got what we got today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a living sacrifice. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering, set apart, well-pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. So what do? We prove what is that good and perfect desire of Elohim. We allow that renewal to actually work in our life. And he's trying to tell us that. He's trying to explain how important that is to our lives. We're not conformed to the world, but we transform by the renewing of our mind. What's renewing our mind? What is doing that? Finally, we're seeing for the first time it's being awakened. And if we don't have the set-apart spirit to help with that, we're not going to see it. We're going to constantly walk contrary to it. We're always going to have a question about it. Why I got to do this? Why I got to do that? When set-apart spirit. Now, what made Caleb different? What made Caleb different? He had a different spirit. He had another spirit. That's the word is used if we look at it. He had another spirit. It was different from the spirit they was operating in, is what he's saying. They had a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And we still have this happening today. People operate with spirit. They spirit-led, but they ain't set-apart spirit. You can tell when it's set-apart spirit because it leads you straight, head-on, to the instructions of Elohim. And when it leads you away from Elohim, you can't call it set-apart spirit, because then you're making set-apart spirit out to be a renegade. And I don't know if you want to take that position. Set-apart spirit is no renegade. He leads and guides us into all truth. So you can tell when it's set-apart spirit, he's going to lead you straight to the instructions of Elohim, not away from it. He's not going to talk against God's word, is he? That doesn't even make sense to say. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. What does that mean? The what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim is his instructions. He said, this is what I want you to do. If you want to know what the desire of God is, he's telling us to do it. And he's telling us in Romans, I am in Romans. He's telling me in Romans, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. What renews the mind? How do we get our mind renewed? Can we do it in our own power? No, we got set apart spirit to give us the power. Do we do it our own plan, our own way, our own set of rules and instructions? No, we have a set of rules and instructions already drawn up for us. Now, when we slip right into it right away, it's contrary. It's gonna shake us to the core. We're gonna have to flee from what we've been doing and now focus on what he wants us to do. Now he's going to tell us, explain that to us a little bit deeper in the next verse here. Treasures in jars of clay. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power might be of Elohim and not of us. Being hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted, but not forsaken. Being thrown down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Master Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our body. For we, the living, are always delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua. We, the living, are delivered to what? To death for the sake of Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our mortal flesh. That's right now. This is real time speaking. Our body is delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua. He died. We're going to die. We're going to get sick. We're going to hurt. We're going to go through things. There's going to be stuff that's not working and we want it to work. That's just what it is. We live in a life of faith and we believe in God that he's still with us regardless of what we're going through. Remember, I'll read it to you again because sometimes we miss this. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted, but not forsaken. Being thrown down, but not destroyed. We're going to have stuff happen. But he's telling us. He's explaining to always bearing about in the body the dying of the Master Yeshua. We bear it in our body. This is what happens. Listen, he went through some difficult times in his life. And guess what? He was the Son of God. So what makes us think that we're going to be brought into this family, we're not going to have difficult things happen? We're going to go through difficult times. But listen, don't focus on the difficulty, he's saying. That the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our body. The life of Yeshua. How do we get the life of Yeshua to manifest in our body? We got to do what he did. We got to say what he said. We got to perform how he performed. That's how the life of Yeshua gets. Listen, though he was dead, he lived. Same thing will happen with us. Though we die, yet shall we live. Because it will manifest itself in our body. For we, the living, are always delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death indeed is working in us, but the life in you. But having the same spirit of belief, according to what has been written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised up the Master Yeshua shall also raise us up through Yeshua, and shall present us with you. For all this is for your sake, so that favor, having spread through the many, would cause thanksgiving to overflow unto the esteem of Elohim. This is so powerful. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but envy, but even if our outward man is perishing. And that's what's happening every day. Our outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. And you got to see that. Because listen, if you're only focused on your ailments, you're going to be discouraged all the time. It's not your ailments that you focus on. You focus that on the inside of you, you're being renewed. Day by day, you're being renewed. You're being brought closer and closer and closer to the Master every day. And that's the encouraging part. Don't focus on just the negative. There's a positive in your day somewhere, trust me. If you're a child of God, there's a big positive there. Big positive, and you ought to give thanks in everything you go through. And that's what he's trying to share with the Corinthian people. They were so discouraged, but he's telling them, listen, I'm going through the same stuff you're going through. I'm faced with this every day. And he was telling them, I'm going through all these things. He said, I'm telling you, when you realize what's happening on the inside of you, you're going to get excited about the goodness of God. And this is what he calls it. He says, for this slight momentary pressure is working for us a more exceeding and everlasting weight of glory. Or his theme. This is so powerful. This, he calls it a slight momentary pressure, is working for us a far more exceeding and everlasting weight of glory or esteem. We are not looking on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen passes away. But what is not seen is everlasting. And so he's expressing this to us. He's trying to get us to understand how powerful this is and the importance of this. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Put on the new self. If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the matters which are above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of Elohim. If we're raised with him, we got to seek the matters that are where he's seated. Where is he seated? At the right hand of Elohim. I want to ask you something. At the right hand of Elohim, where he's seated, he said we got to seek those matters. Anybody want to give a good guess on what the matters that he's speaking of is when he comes to Elohim? What are the matters he's speaking of? Because he says seek these matters. So in the throne of the Most High Almighty God, do you think he has rules? Or can any angel come in there and just, what's up, God? Is that allowed? It's not allowed. There's a structure. There's a way things have to be done. And he's telling us, if then you were raised with Messiah, seek the matters which are above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of Elohim. Mind the matters above, not those on earth. Now man has matters on earth. God has matters there and above. Now he gave the above matters to us. He delivered them to us at Mount Sinai. He delivered the above matters to us. And he says that we're to focus on the above matters. What he's saying is, you can do whatever you want, really? I made you, designed you to do whatever you want. But see, I put before you today blessing and curse. And he's begging us to choose the blessing side rather than the curse side, because you're going to get something out of either one of them. It's coming. And he's telling us, he's begging us not to choose the curses. Mind the matters above, not those on the earth. For you have died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. So we've been hidden in Messiah, in Elohim. Notice these words, they're so powerful. You have died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. When the Messiah, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with him in esteem or in glory. Now these are all verses that I read in the glory series that I put in there, and I read them over and over and over again because they're so powerful. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, whoring, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, greed of gain, which is idolatry. Now, where does that come from? Where does this horrid uncleanness pass and deal with desires and greed of gain? Where is this coming from? Where is that instruction coming from? Coming out of God's instructions. That's why it's written in Colossians. He's telling them, these are instructions we got straight from Jehovah. These are his instructions. You can't have that. And this is what the commandments dealt with all of these. Right here, dealt with this. You can't do that. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Once walked. We're not walking in the world. We once walked that away. You don't bring that stuff into his house. Remember, we entered a different house. We were in our own house. In our own house, we couldn't save ourselves. Our house was stained with all kinds of different types of worship, different type of idolatrous practice. And so what the Israel had to do, they had to kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost to hide all that stuff and invite the master in. They had to invite him in. So we have the slain lamb, which represents Yeshua, and then we have the invitation of the Most High himself, Yehovah, the protector, standing there with a strong right hand, and he says, I got this house now. Now when he enters the house, the agreement is you go by his rules. When the strong man entered the house, we're going by his rules now. Now when the death angel comes, he has no power over that house because you accepted the blessings. See, we want the blessings on the upside, but we don't want to do what we have to do on the backside to be obedient. We want his protection, but we don't want to do anything to get that protection. In which you also once walked when you lived in them, but now also put off all these: displeasure, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old man with his practices. So we can't lie to each other because we put off the old man. Now for me not to say what I'm needing to say to you would be lying to you. If I water this down and try to make it real nice and package it so nice that everybody goes home and you're just cheerful, and you don't feel like, Lord, I need to work on me a little more when you leave, then why would I package it down and lie to you when I know for a fact that if I do that, the small sweet package don't get you nowhere when you're going through hell when you get home. I'm giving you some power how you can defeat Satan and all his adversaries and all his tricks, because you're obeying God's word. Now you have the power and the source to fight those battles. And now put on the new one, who is renewed in knowledge. Watch this. According to the likeness of him who created him. I want to know what the likeness of him is. That's why I highlighted it. What is he talking about here? And we have put on the new one, who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him. Who's him who created us? If we're saying that's Yehovah, then we're renewed in his likeness, his instructions, his Torah, his statutes, his commands. That's what it means to put on the new man. Now, I know this is the gospel of the different, coming from a different angle, but it's the only angle I know. This is the only one I know. I'm not making this up. I'm reading to you Colossians 3:10. And having put on the new one, who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him, where there is not Greek and Yehuda, circumcised or uncircumcised, foreigner or sentient, slave, free, but Messiah is all and in all. So if Messiah is in us, if he's the one that's doing the performance in us, then we have to submit to what he submitted to. What gave him the ability to have life after death? Following the instructions of Yehovah completely. What gave Caleb the ability to stay strong through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness that he didn't have to do that. It wasn't his penalty. He was bearing that load for his brothers and his sisters and his mom and his dad, his aunt and his uncles, everybody else. What gave him the attitude that, because once he got there, he says, man, I waited so long, I'm tired of waiting. I don't even want it no more. And we get that away. You could be in a restaurant. Your meal didn't come. It comes last. And you'll say, I don't even want it no more. I'm not even hungry. Why don't you just take the thing and eat it and enjoy yourself rather than getting fried? What's the point? What's the point in it? It makes no sense. The flesh will say, I'm mad and I ain't never coming back here. Listen, just eat the meal. You don't want to go back, don't go back. But you don't have to tell nobody. Telling somebody, what good does that do? It doesn't do a bit of good. You was not a good example. I don't care how bad the situation is, you can still be a good example if you'll just calm down, get the flesh, grab both reins and pull tight. I mean, pull real tight. Pull real tight on the reins. Real tight. And just be okay. Don't let a situation that's going to come in your life, they just come. That's what they do. Don't let it ruin what God's been building in you, because he's going to test you. He's going to find out, because he laid a perfect foundation for us, but we get to build on it. Remember, you're the builder, not God. He made the foundation. You're building on that foundation. The foundation is not the problem, but if you want to build with hay, go on. It's easy. You want to build with sticks and stubble? Go on. Or if you want to get some gold and you got to put the gold in the fire and go through some stuff and learn some stuff and get it where it's pure and then pour it in molds and you got to get it real firm and found you got the good foundation, but you're not building with it properly. It takes time to do that. You don't go out every day and go to a field of gold. You got to go down and pan a little bit at a time and you got to learn some things. You got to be patient while you're panning. And when you pan so long and you only get a little bit, you're still building with what you got. It's whatever you do build is solid. And so the meal don't come. You've been panning with gold. Guess what? You think that's going to bother you? You're dealing with people. You're dealing with public. What point are you trying to make? Getting mad. What's the point? It don't make no sense. We're to be different. And people have got to see that example in our life. We have to. You think God will work miracles for you? He'll do it every time. Every time. Therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and patience. That's what I was just referencing, what we should put on. You're taking off the other stuff, you're putting on this. Bearing with one another. Wow. Well, that one we got to learn up. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If any has a complaint against another, indeed, as Messiah forgave you, so also you should. He forgave you, we should forgive. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be filled with thanksgiving. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. I want to know what the word of Messiah is. Because I got to let it dwell in me richly. What is that? That'd be my question. Can somebody explain to me what the word of Messiah is that I got to dwell in richly? I got to inundate myself. I got to bathe in it. I got to soak down in it. You know, I like to soak down. I don't like just hot water running on me. So I got these soaps. I buy these soaps. They're a little more expensive, but boy, you get a lot of soap from it. And let me tell you, I like soap. If I clean my boat, I want to see the soap. That's why I got two gallon jugs over there. I want to see the soap because I'm cleaning it. I want to make sure I hit every spot. So that's why you use soap. If you wash your vehicle, you want to see the soap. You wash, you can spray it off after, but you want to see it. There's something about seeing it. Now, if I'm supposed to soak down in him, what am I supposed to soak down in? What does that look like? He says, Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. What is the word of Messiah dwelling in us richly? Now we got to take this thing on a journey, right? He said, the word of Messiah is dwelling in me richly. And Messiah says, the stuff I'm telling you are not my words. They are the Father's words. Now I know it's not his words, it's the Father's word that I dwell in richly, right? So am I still in agreement that I got to let the word of the Father dwell in me richly? Because the word of the Father is the word of Messiah. Are we still on the same page? And I just want somebody to tell me where the words of the Father are. No hints. I'm not hinting, giving no hints to nobody, but where the words of the Father are. You see my point? It's all there. You can't understand it unless you get some history. You get some teaching in the Tanakh. Once you get teaching in the Tanakh, you get sound. You can go anywhere you want. I don't care where you... Listen, one day we're going to come here, we're going to just open up. I'm going to say, I need five of you to point somewhere in the Brit Hadishah and give me the passage. We're going to go and take it from there. It'll come naturally to you because you studied the Torah. It'll naturally come to you. How many want it to naturally come to you? When you sit down with people, it's just natural. It'll happen. You got to inundate yourself with it. You got to soak down. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your heart to the Master in song and songs of praise and spiritual songs. This is a command. He's commanding us these things we should do. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Elohim, the Father, through him. This stuff's so simple. Now let's look at 2 Timothy. Guard the deposits entrusted to you. Now, I don't know about you, but we've been getting some deposits entrusted to us. They're entrusted. When the Torah goes out, it's an entrusted deposit. You got to do what to that? Guard it. If you don't guard it, you're going to get your plates, going to have two hamburgers on it when you come. Three, then four, then five. You're going to say, I don't know what to do with all this. Well, you got to eat them one at a time. Does that make sense to everybody? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank Elohim, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my forefathers did, as I unceasingly remember you in my prayers night and day. Longing to see you, as I remember your tears, so that I might be filled with joy. For I recollect the sincere belief which is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you too. For this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of Elohim, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For Elohim has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power, of love, and of self-control. So do not be ashamed of the witness of our Master, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with me for the good news according to the power of Elohim, who has saved us and called us with a set apart calling, not according to the works, not according to our works. I mean, there's a difference between our works and good works. About to show you that. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and favor, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before times of old. Now I got to stop there. I know I got a new CD system, but this is going to just be off the CD. Now listen to this. This is important because I got to deal with this. Who has saved us and called us with a set apart calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and favor, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before times of old. Now, I didn't put down the Greek word for times of old here, but you got to go look it up. If I'd have made this thing so much, I'd have never got through the reading of the text. Because it don't stop. It don't stop. So when he's talking about it was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before times of old, where is he taking our mind when he talks about before times of old? We're talking about Yeshua. Where is he taking our minds? So if you look up that word, before times of old, it's going to talk about eternity. It's going to talk about a certain beginning, a time that's eternal. It's not a time that expires. And he's given us something. He's given to us in Messiah. We've been given something in Messiah who has saved us and called us with a set-apart calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. What's his own purpose? His own purpose and favor, which was given to us in Messiah before times of old. So when God started this plan for man, Christ was crucified before the foundations of the world. Now, we don't think that somehow he was suspended in the universe on a cross, do we? Literally. Suspended on a cross in the universe, hanging out somewhere till his time comes. Then he just took the cross and him, stuck him in a hole, and bam, there we are. We have the crucifixion. That's not what he's saying. But it was done in the mind of Jehovah for our benefit. My whole point of saying all this is it's not changed. Nothing has changed when it comes to what Jehovah has said. I don't know how to drive it home more clear. Nothing has changed. He's still saying the same thing he said then. He's still saying the same thing now. He's telling us right here, before times of old, I purposed it and favored it to you. I given it to you through Messiah, before times of old. So what we have in the renewed covenant is no different than what Abraham had. It's no different than what Adam had. It's no different than what Cain had. Cain had the same grace shown to him. He said, if you want to change, you can change now. But if you don't change, I'm setting before you blessing and cursings. Cain, I want you to see this. Red, I want you to see this. Do you see the blessings or the curse? Whatever one you want, you pick it. It's waiting for you. I'm telling you, the curse is waiting at the door for you. It's going to take you. It's going to take you over. Same stuff. It's no different. Every situation, every storyline you go through, every example that we've been given in writing through the Bible, all the same stuff. No difference. So we have this given to us in Messiah Yeshua before times of old, but now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Yeshua Messiah, who indeed abolished us death and brought life and incorruptibility to light through the good news. So what was the good news? He's here. There he is. What did the shepherds talk about? This is good news. What the angels came and sang the song. He's here. He's the waited Messiah is here. That's the good news. Now we can walk this out because we're going to be empowered to walk it out. It was not going to be just given to a few people. It was for the whole world. For which I was appointed a proclaimer and an emissary and a teacher of the nations. For this reason, I also suffer these matters, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to watch over that which I have entrusted to him until that day. Hold the pattern of sound words. Hold the pattern of sound words. What's the pattern of sound words? See, if you read slow, what happens? What's the pattern of sound words? Can somebody help me? What's the pattern of sound words? I can tell you it's left of Matthew. It's the pattern of sound words, but to hold the pattern of sound words. Am I still in the Brit Hadishah? Hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in belief and love which are in Messiah Yeshua. Watch over the good deposits that was entrusted to you by the set-apart Spirit dwelling in us. Just keep going on and on. He goes on. I don't know how many I got left. Oh, I only got three. And I got three of just the added slides before I even started on the Torah. So Titus 3, verse 1. Be ready for every good work. I told you I'd explain to you the difference between our work and good work. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, not to slander anyone, not to be quarrelsome, to be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. If we could just learn this, we can get through anything. Because let me tell you what happens. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you could be in church, this happened. You're sitting there, all of a sudden you see the heat starts to raise. And it starts to get around your collar, and it starts to almost choke the life out of you. And you go, your heart's going, do, 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 do. What do you relax? You just relax in the Word of God. And you're listening. Don't pay attention to the voices in your head, because the voices are saying, you tell them, you say it, you calm down. And you relax in the Word, because you know the Word is the final authority. And you ain't got nothing to say unless it's the Word of God. You have nothing to say. What are you going to say? What are you going to add to it? Nothing. Nothing that's going to help. You let the Word of God bring that Word to you. When it does, it's magic. That's what it seems like. It's amazing. It's awesome. So listen. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Did I read that? Not to slander anyone, nor to be quarrelsome, be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, led astray, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in evil and envy, being hated and hating one another. If we could just remember, we was just like that. What are you going to say then? Remember Yeshua? He didn't say a whole lot. He just stooped down and wrote in the sand. And he said, he who has never sinned, throw the first stone. And then he looked back up and they were all gone. He said, where are your accusers? She said, I don't have any. He said, I don't accuse you either, but go and sin no more. How beautiful was that? If we can just learn that. We get along. We get along with stuff. We ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in evil and envy, being hated and hating one another. That was us. Every one of us. So sometimes people just need to let it out. When they let it out, it's fine. You'll see how God works when you allow the Word of God to help you. But when the kindness and the love of Elohim, our Savior, toward men appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his compassion, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the set-apart Spirit. How did we get saved? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his compassion, through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the set-apart Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior, that having been declared right by his favor, we should become heirs according to the expectation of everlasting life. Trustworthy is the word. And in this regard, I wish you to strongly affirm that those who have believed in Elohim should keep their minds on maintaining good works. Keep their minds on maintaining good works. This is good and profitable to men. But keep away from foolish questions and genealogies and strife and quarrels about the Torah. for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a one has been perverted and sins, being self-condemned. Reject a divisive man. A divisive man is one who tries to teach against truth. The Hebrew word is where we get our word heretic, is that the Greek word there. That Greek word is where we get our English word heretic. So if we put reject a heretic, is one who teaches something to be true when it's untrue. How do you know what's truth is the question. Scripture will interpret Scripture. It will prove itself if you just read what it says and leave it set where it sets. Don't read into it, just leave it set what it says. It will interpret itself. And so hopefully this has helped you, because this is the beginning of Re'ah. But I'm glad we got through that introduction, at least. Because if we don't know what we're getting into ahead of time, you're prepared now for in the morning. Now you're ready for in the morning. Because you prepared. And then I didn't read but half the verses. So if you wrote down all those other verses, you go read them tonight, then you're going to be really prepared. You're going to be sharpened in your skills to understand what it says. And this is a lot. I understand that. But the issue is, we're going to be under a lot, and we got to know a lot if we're going to be successful. The enemy's not going to pull back. His attacks are going to get more vicious. His aim's going to get more precise to attack you. And if you're not well equipped, he's going to beat you up pretty good. But we're going to be equipped in the Word of God. We're going to learn His Word. We're going to see. Just tonight, looking at this renewed covenant, who was it made with? You weren't there. I wasn't there. But it was made with the house of Yehuda and the house of Israel. That's what it was made with. The renewed covenant. What's the covenant that Yeshua came to come back to reinstate? What covenant was that? The same renewed covenant. He reinstated it. Now we get welcome. We get invited into this arrangement. We get to be someone who can be a part of it. I don't know if anybody's ever co-owned anything before, where you went in as a group. Four or five adults go in. They buy a piece of property. Everybody's name's on the title. And everybody's got... You know, they don't care who pays what. The title company gives you one lump sum. They just said, by all five of you, this lump sum's got to be paid. Now, you get together as a group, and you say, okay, we're going to split it five ways. So if it's, you know, if it's $1,000, we each got a part. What's the equal portion of $1,000 for five people? $200. So you all pay you $200. And you have to have one person who collects that $200 and puts it in the account to send it off. Well, how many of you know those things can go sideways real quick? Because you got somebody that get down in their luck or whatever, and they short their 200. And then you call them and say, hey, it's time for everybody's 200. I know I can't do it this month, okay? All right, what do you want us to do? We all agree. How many see that can go sideways quick? Yeah. Quick. Because you all agreed. So guess what? We got brought into this arrangement. We all have a responsibility. This arrangement was already set up. We got invited in. We got grafted into the arrangement. We don't get to come into the arrangement and say, hey, rules have changed. The way I see it, I don't need to do 200. I can do 100. The rest of y'all got to bump it up. We got invited in later in life, and we don't get to come in and change it. We got an agreement. We have to abide by that agreement. How many see that's... Don't even sound right at any level you talk about it in. It don't sound right. But that's what we do. People, we come in and we say, well, I don't think we got to keep that command. I don't think we got to keep this one either. What about, we don't need to keep that one. We're just not going to do that. Then we get ourselves in trouble with God. The arrangement's been made. We got invited into the arrangement. We didn't have to go in. We don't have to. But sometimes, you know, you want to be invited in the rain because you can't afford the full portion of it, but you can enjoy some of it. You get the benefits of usage. But people do that a lot with condominiums. They'll buy partners. You can't afford the whole condo, but if partners, we can all buy a portion of it. We get to use it a week or whatever, and you share time with it. Well, that's what you do. But you got to still pay your part. And so you said, well, the rules and the rules, if you don't get to pay your $200, somebody paid it for you, you got to miss your week. See how that works? So we want the full benefit of what God has, but we don't want to pay the full price. Well, that's not going to work. We have to pay the full price. And thank God Yeshua came, paid the full price for us. He died for me just like he died for Moshe. Let me understand that part. He died for me like he died for Abraham. And without Yeshua's death, Abraham and Moshe don't have a chance. And without his death, I don't have a chance. We get the same benefit, but we don't want the same responsibility. Thank God that he died for all the world, but because he died for all the world, we ought to respect his death so much that whatever he tells us to do, we say yes. And hopefully that's your goal. So, see, I set before you blessings and curse. They're both before us. We get to choose whatever one we want. My prayer is that you choose the blessings because that's the only way you have to go. Amen? Yeah. Thank God for you. Thank God for you being here. Appreciate you. You coming tonight and giving you time. We're in a little extra over just to read these verses so I wouldn't have to read them in the morning. I may read them again. Might do it all over again. Never know. I might go home and add more to it. So never know what'll happen. So it's just me and God home tonight. So you ain't no telling what'll happen. So God is good to us. But I appreciate the opportunity you give me every time. And I pray that this is ministered to your life. Anybody have any special prayer requests?